The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to this service. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've done, you are God's beloved. God's grace is for you, and we are delighted that you are joining us. As we do every week, if you have a candle for worship, let's light them together as we recall the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you join me in prayer? Jesus, Redeemer and Saviour, you are the lover of our souls. You seek us in the darkness that is sometimes of our own making. Give us eyes to see you, to find our way out of the heaviness that has settled upon us and keeps us from living in your light. Give us ears to hear you, to behold the wonders of all that your voice has spoken into life. Stir our hearts to pursue the abundant life you have prepared for us through your amazing love. Renew and restore us, we pray, as we come to worship you in the power of your Holy Spirit. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's say together the prayer of confession. Gracious and merciful God, you have offered to us food for the journey. You remind us that your very life will sustain us as we embody your love. But sometimes we forget this, focusing on our difficulties and making excuses for not living the kind of life you call us to. Please forgive us, Lord. Stop us in our tracks. Cleanse our spirits and our souls and draw us to follow you more closely. Remind us again that you are the bread of life, having given yourself for us. Sustain us and encourage us in our service. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear friends, the Lord is gracious and gentle. The Lord heals our souls with love. The Lord is merciful and provides spiritual food for the hungry. So be healed in your hearts and be fed in your souls because of the grace and the forgiveness that is ours through Jesus Christ. And God's people say, Amen. Our scripture reading for today is from John's Gospel. We are still in chapter 6, and today we are looking at verses 51 through 58. The reading begins with Jesus speaking, kind of in mid-speech. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." This is the word of God. Well, if you have been tracking with us over these summer weeks, you will know that we have spent an inordinate amount of time in this sixth chapter of John's Gospel, a chapter that largely focuses on Jesus' claim to be the bread of life. With the exception of just one Sunday, we have been mining the depths of this chapter since late July, and we still have one more week after this to go. Last week, we were reflecting on how our faith isn't a static thing, but rather always has us moving in some way. We're sometimes actively drawing closer to Jesus, and other times we're maybe drifting away or sometimes even intentionally moving away from him. And as we heard, whether we are consciously aware of it or not, in those times when we're moving towards Jesus, that movement actually doesn't begin with us. It begins with God, who invites, who draws us close. God who hopes that we will respond and come closer to him. Well, remember that this chapter all began with the story of Jesus miraculously feeding thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. John tells us that after enjoying that miraculous meal, the crowds who had eaten decided that they wanted to make Jesus their king. And really, most of the rest of this chapter is actually spent describing how Jesus tries to get them to understand that while he would be king, he wasn't going to be the kind of king they thought they wanted. He was going to be so much more. He had way more to offer the world than just the odd miraculous meal, as amazing as that had been. Well, today's passage begins with Jesus claiming to be the living bread come down from heaven. And then it moves on rather quickly into what even today are increasingly strange sounding statements. Jesus says that whoever eats this bread will live forever, and that the bread that he will give for the life of the world is his flesh. He talks about how he will bring eternal life, but that in order to find that life, we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Honestly, it's challenging for us to track with Jesus here. It must have been virtually impossible for the people who were listening on that very day to understand what he was trying to say. Jesus' words make us uncomfortable, and for us that discomfort is eased a bit, especially for those of us who have spent any amount of time hanging around the Christian church. In those strange statements, we actually can hear echoes of something that is quite familiar and beloved to us. The words that we hear regularly when we gather at Jesus' table. In our communion liturgies, it is actually quite normal for us to talk about consuming the body and the blood of Christ. And in truth, many who have studied and preached on this passage have effectively argued that that is exactly what Jesus was referring to when he made these statements. They think that he was giving people a little bit of a preview of what would end up becoming a central part of our life together. But remember that the people who were there that day had a very different perspective than we have now. The Christian church didn't exist yet, and neither did the sacrament of communion, obviously. So for those crowds, what Jesus was saying must have just sounded bizarre and probably fairly off-putting. We know that the same Jewish leaders who were already struggling with Jesus' claim to be from heaven, they were even more rattled by all of this. And to be fair, they had good reason to be. In the Jewish faith, drinking blood was expressly prohibited. There were elaborate teachings about how to butcher meat and prepare it, in part designed to protect faithful Jewish people from inadvertently breaking that law. And now here was Jesus saying that to find the eternal life we all seek, we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. For Jesus' Jewish audience, these words weren't just disturbing. They seemed to stand in blatant opposition to the very laws that God had given them to guide them in living holy lives. It's easy to see that at this point, Jesus' credentials as a respected rabbi would have been in serious jeopardy. So what was Jesus saying? Were these words just meant to mean something to people who would come years or centuries or in our case millennia later? Christians who would hear and say these same things regularly every time we take part in communion? Was that the full meaning of them, or was there more? Honestly, my readings showed that people are quite divided on this. Some people think that this was John's way of planting the seeds of what would become communion in his account of Jesus' life and ministry. But others argue that they think John's reasons for including this run far deeper than that. It turns out that just as these strange words actually draw our minds to our communion liturgies, they may also have drawn faithful Jewish minds to a story from their history, a story from the days of their great king, King David. You can actually read that story in both 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. It tells of a time when David and his armies were at war, and their enemies, the Philistines, were camped at Bethlehem. Now remember, David was from Bethlehem. So having his enemies occupy his hometown probably had a particular sting for him. We're told that one day, likely weary from battle, David looked out at this from afar, and he found himself longing for a taste of home. He had a thirst for some waters from home, waters from the well at Bethlehem. Well, some of his mightiest warriors heard of this, and so they boldly snuck into the Philistine camp, drew some water from that well, and brought it back to David. That was the strength of their loyalty and their devotion to their king. Well, David is humbled by their actions, to the point that he decided that that water was far too precious to drink, and so he pours it out onto the ground as an offering to the Lord. He realized that his men had risked their lives for this, and he did not feel worthy of their willingness to sacrifice themselves for him. Well, here's where this story connects with our reading today. As David pours out the water, he says, "God forbid that I should do this. Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their own lives? Should I drink the blood of these men." These were the words that King David used to describe the sacrifice his men had made for him, a sacrifice he did not feel worthy of. Well, Jesus says to us in our reading today, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you'll have no life in you." Is it possible that he might have been picking up on King David's words, saying that unless we are willing to accept the sacrifice he has made for us, we won't be able to find our way to the life Jesus offers? You know, certainly those strange words Jesus said have some connection to our practice of communion, but I also think that he may have hoped for us to discover this deeper connection as well. Jesus would go on to make the consummate sacrifice, in his words, for the life of the world. He's done that. And he did it because of his loyalty and devotion to us. In that sacrifice, he didn't just risk his life, he freely gave his life. So, like King David that day, we now have a choice. Are we willing to accept Jesus' inconceivably gracious gift of life? A gift that came because of Jesus' willingness to give himself for us. Like David, we probably don't feel worthy of that gift. None of us are worthy of what Jesus has done. Not even the finest person who has ever lived. None of us. But then from Jesus' perspective, our worthiness actually has nothing to do with it. It never has. As a very wise 6-year-old little girl once said to me, on the cross, Jesus showed us what love really is. She was so right. Jesus gave himself for love. Pure, simple, life-changing, life-giving love. Amen.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Triune God, Father God above us, Jesus, God beside us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. Jesus, thank you for showing us what God's love looks like, and for walking every day beside us. And thank you for the assurance that Paul wrote about in Romans 8. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. And Father, we have so much to be grateful for. Thank you for your unconditional love. And thank goodness for that, as we could never earn it. Thank you that we can trust your word, that you keep your promises and are always there to show us the way, even when the future seems as unclear as looking into the smoke from forest fires. We also have much to ask and to lay down before you. We continue to pray for rain, safety, and restoration, for rain to push back the fires, for strength and safety for all the firefighters that are battling this situation, and restoration for those that have lost so much, for their emotional healing and the rebuilding of their lives. We ask that you calm their hearts and make quick and smooth the many steps necessary for reconstruction. And for those that are grieving lost loved ones, ones that suffered long and are now released, and ones that went so suddenly we can hardly catch our breath, we pray a supernatural blanket of comfort and peace upon them as they go through this grief process. For places of worship newly opened up and getting ready to open, give them all a fresh creativity to do church in a different way. For the staff and leadership of St. Stephen's Church, we pray for strength, patience, and innovative possibilities for September 12th, when we will return to this building. Hooray! And dear loving Father, we also pray this prayer. The following are not my words. This is a prayer that came from the Anglican Church of Canada. It's a prayer of reconciliation. Holy One, Creator of all that is, seen and unseen, of story and of song, of heartbeat and of tears, of bodies, souls, voices, and all relations, you are the God of all truth and the way of all reconciliation. Uphold with your love and compassion all who open their lives in the sacred sharing of their stories. Breathe in us the grace to trust in your loving forgiveness, that we may face our histories with courage. Touch us through the holy gift of story, that those who speak and those who listen may behold your own redeeming presence. Guide us with holy wisdom to enter through the gates of remorse, that our feet may walk gently and firmly on the way of justice and healing. Amen. And now back to my words. Holy Spirit, please keep reminding us of the things that Jesus taught us. Help us to pray. Show us what and who to pray for. Instill in us spiritual gifts, the gift of holy discernment, that we may separate truth from lies, love from selfishness, and legalism from compassion and grace. And the gift of faith, that we will stand strong and confident on your words and promises rather than live in fear. Make clear to us just when we are actually missing the point. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you. We thank you. We worship you. And thank you for Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We're very grateful for your continued faithfulness in giving to the mission and ministry of this church, as well as to the Mission and Service Fund of the Church of Canada. Thank you. Please pray with me the prayer dedicating these gifts to God's purposes. Eternal God, we present these offerings as part of our commitment to you and the building of your kingdom. We do not yet understand the meaning of total commitment, but pray that our faith and understanding will continue to grow, that we may use all that we have to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have two brief announcements today. The first is a reminder about the Lantern Festival that is happening in our area and in others. There are some details about that in your emailed announcements if you want to check them out, but we just really want to encourage you to get out in an evening and drive around and see the lanterns. And if you do, please swing by the church where you'll see that there are some hanging at the front door. You should be able to see them illuminated anytime after 7 p.m. So we'll hope you'll come out and take a look at that. And the second announcement is just a personal thank you. I want to express my gratitude to Phil and Foster for the capable way they stepped in to cover things so that I could take some time off in July. We are so very blessed to have both Phil and Foster in our midst. We are blessed by their gifts, and we are blessed by their love. So thank you both for making a bit of holidays possible. Dear friends, go blessed and filled with the wisdom of God. Go blessed and nourished by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And go blessed and directed with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you wherever you may go. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storms. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.